I'd like you to open your Bible again with me, please, at those verses we read together in John chapter 1. We'll focus our thoughts mainly upon what is recorded there in verse 40. And it says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother." And that very simply is our theme for this morning: Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Goes without saying, folks, that when we come to some of the personalities in the Scriptures, there are many titles that we could give to a message. And there are many titles that we could give to a message concerning Simon Peter's brother, Andrew. After all, he stands in the Bible as one of the great soul winners. We could, of course, address him as a personal worker, or indeed that disciple in the Bible with little identity. Because though he was the one who actually brought his brother Peter to the Savior, from that moment on he had to live in Peter's shadow. It always seems that he is never referred to just as Andrew, but as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He is one of the more unknown soldiers in the Bible. One who had always to play second fiddle to Peter. Now, when we come to look at Andrew, you will of course know that he was not the author of any book in the Bible. He was not the builder of any great church. He was not even one of the three most prominent disciples of the Lord, but rather one of those humble people whose life shines as one of the loveliest characters you'll meet anywhere in the New Testament Scriptures. There's a special significance about his life. And isn't it somewhat interesting that four countries in the world actually take Andrew as their patron saint? Not Peter. He's the patron saint of Scotland, of Greece, of Russia, and of Romania. And when we look at his life, we discover that he is a wonderful example of what a Christian should be, especially in the realm of soul winning, reaching others for the Savior, doing like Mary what we can for the Lord. Now, it also goes without saying that not very many, indeed very few, could ever be like the Apostle Peter or be like the Apostle Paul, but I believe that most Christians, if not all, can be like Andrew. He, of course, did not have the charismatic personality of his brother Peter. He did not have the dynamic public preaching ability of the Apostle Paul. But he did have his own special talents and gifts that he used most effectively for the Lord. Now, when you look at Peter, his brother, he was a leader. He was explosive. He was outspoken. He was rash in his decisions. The one who cursed, denied that he ever knew the Lord. Yet the one who preached one sermon and 3,000 people were converted. But Andrew was just a follower. Not a leader, a quiet personal worker, doing what he could for the Lord, bringing individuals to Christ, such as his brother Peter. And though Andrew brought Peter to the Savior, and Peter becomes one of the prominent personalities in the Bible, we find that Andrew has to live in his shadow. For example, we read in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 8 again, where it says, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We read here in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. All was referred to in those terms. Therefore, folks, it takes a big man to be like Andrew. It takes a humble person to be like Andrew. He was the first to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he goes and he finds Peter and he brings him to the Savior. And from that on, he walks in Peter's shadow. You know, Mary in the Scriptures, when she bought and brought that expensive box of ointment to anoint her Savior, she was bitterly criticized for that as being extravagant, condemned by Judas Iscariot. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor, but he had never considered the poor before? They were told to leave Mary alone. For it says she had done what she could. And when we look at Andrew, those words would sum up his life also. He did what he could for the Lord. Many people will know the story of Susanna Wesley, who had 18 children. And she saw those children in her home as her mission field. And she set about the task of winning them for the Lord. And she won every one of them for the Lord. And in doing so, she gave to England and the world two of the greatest servants and preachers of God and hymn writers that the world has ever known, in the persons of John and Charles Wesley. And the pale-faced and frightened committee man who preached on a particular Sabbath morning in a little primitive Methodist church in England. Because of the heavy snow, the minister couldn't get there. There was only a dozen people there. There was a boy who was a stranger forced there because he couldn't get to the church of his choice. They didn't know what to do, have a prayer meeting and send the people home, or someone preach. They thought it would be sad to let that boy whom they didn't know go out without a word. And of course, the decision was taken that they would preach. And that deacon, of course, who wasn't a preacher, had no time for any preparation, walked into the pulpit and announced his text as Isaiah 45 and 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And after a few minutes, he was exhausted. He had no preparation. He didn't know what to say. Then, focusing upon the young man, he said, young man, you look miserable and you will always be miserable. You'll be miserable in life, you'll be miserable in death, and you'll be miserable in eternity. If you do not obey the words of my text and look unto Jesus and be saved. And that day, that young boy, 15 years of age, looked to Jesus Christ and was gloriously saved. No doubt that preacher didn't realize the impact that that one life would have. For that boy, saved at 15, died at 57, and in between those years had led thousands and tens of thousands to faith in Jesus Christ, being, of course, none other than the great C.H. Spurgeon. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, you and I can never, ever save a soul, but there is the exhortation to win people. And Andrew was a winner of souls. A fisherman by trade. only mentioned, I think, about 13 times in the Bible, is John, who speaks of him most. For the time given to us this morning, we want to consider the significance of his life, even though he had to play second fiddle to Peter. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. We want to consider, first of all, Andrew's belief. He, of course, was a great follower of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us that. And two, in the verse 35, again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples. And then the Lord Jesus Christ appears. And John finishes his sermon like every sermon ought to finish that day by crying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And there, immediately, John pointed to Jesus. Andrew left John and followed Jesus. Now, Andrew's conversion can be very clearly traced here. First of all, there was the message that he heard, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then it says in verse 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Oh, folks, it doesn't matter what things we talk about in the pulpit. If our thoughts are not directed to Christ, then it's all in vain. Little wonder Paul said to the people of his day, he said, "I want to know nothing among you, save Christ and him crucified." And John the Baptist, his message focused upon Christ, and he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God." And John heard him, and he followed Christ. Of course, that's the biblical principle. Because the Bible says that it is through the foolishness of preaching, not through foolish preaching. And preaching is foolishness to many people. This old-fashioned slaughterhouse religion, it's obnoxious to their modern way of thinking. But it's God's way of redeeming souls. The Bible says in John chapter 5 in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth." That's exactly what Andrew did. He heard, he believed, he followed. "He that heareth my words, believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how it was with Andrew. I am sure from this pulpit, you have heard and heard and heard the word of life. But have you believed? And are you a follower of Christ today? There was not only the message he heard about the Lamb of God, but then there was the man he followed. Because the Bible tells us there in verse 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Now, they were not, of course, being disloyal to John the Baptist by any means. But the only way of salvation, folks, is actually, believe it or not, in following a man. We're often heard and told, "You must not follow man." Well, I want to tell you today, you must follow a man. The right man. The God man. The Lord Jesus Christ. They heard and they followed Jesus that day. When Andrew stepped out to follow Christ, he did so wholeheartedly, with the result that it led to others also following Christ. It is true. The Bible says, no man liveth unto himself. And the decisions that you and I make in life, and the steps that you and I take in life, and the journey that we travel in life, it will influence other people. Was so when Andrew followed Christ. So there you have the record of his conversion. He heard about the Lamb of God. Then he steps out and he follows the Lamb of God. But then there's not only Andrew and his belief, but Andrew and his brother. And these were very different personalities. Bible says in verse 41, he first. That's very, very significant, very, very important. He first findeth his own brother. That was his first task after his own conversion. To be a witness for the Lord. And to seek to bring his family to Christ. I read the story of a child who was sitting in a church. And it had this great big glass stained window. Of course, the origin of glass-stained windows is very good. They were the poor man's Bible. Way back when people couldn't afford even a Bible, ministers would take the story from the stained glass window and explain the gospel. This lady took her little boy to church. And he wasn't just sitting that particularly well for her. He was putting her under pressure. And then he tugged at her coat, and it was a beaming summer day, and the sun was shining through the stained glass window. And he said, "Mommy, who are those people in the window?" And she really didn't know what to say. So just to keep him quiet, said, "Those are saints." And he never spoke another word. But when he got home, his father said to him, "Son, what did you learn in church today?" He said, "I learned what a saint is." And his dad said, "And what is a saint?" He said, "It's somebody that lets the light shine through." But that's exactly what Andrew was. He's letting the light of the gospel shine through his life. And now it's beaming on Peter. He was a true saint. I want you to notice that as he goes to seek his brother, there is a time of his witness. When he began witnessing, working for the Lord, it says in verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first, that was his first task after his own conversion. Seek to bring his brother to Christ. It was Spurgeon who said, "A candle starts giving light as soon as you light it." And all of us have got to do what we can, like Mary, for the Lord. And we need to start with haste. For the night's coming when no man can work. But Peter starts immediately. Not only the time of his witness, but the territory of his witness. He began to witness at home. And folks, you know as well as I know that that can be often a difficult place. And Peter might well have been considered a very, very hard case. And Bethsaida would have been considered a very, very difficult place. But then, There's not very many easy places. And you know, folks, many of you will know I've been in evangelism for many, many years. And how many times I've heard it said to me when I go to certain places now, this is one tough place. Well, God works and he's sufficient in the tough place. And Peter heard the gospel from the lips of his own brother. He started at home. That, of course, was the commission given to the disciples that they would first start at Jerusalem, at home. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But first of all in Jerusalem. Home. And you know, wherever we go in this world witnessing, we must not neglect those at home. And there was a testimony of his witness too, because in the verse 41 it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Listen, what is he doing? How is he witnessing? He's simply giving his own testimony. We have found the Messiah. And sometimes, folks, maybe you feel, what shall I say to them? I don't know the scriptures as I would like to know. Listen, Andrew's just giving his testimony. I found the Messiah. And there's nothing more influential than the record of a life that has been transformed by the grace of God. There are many people who frown upon testimonies today, but it is a method that God has been pleased to use, and God uses it here. He simply told him his testimony. And we all can do that. Even the stranger, if we're going to witness it to him, we can say, listen, I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. But then there's Andrew and the boy. The Bible tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verses 8 and 9, that one of his disciples, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, that is, says unto the Lord, there's a lad here. And you know, the terminology that is used is very, very important, just as the words that you and I speak are very, very important. And Andrew says, there's a lad here. That's a term of affection. He not only brought his brother to the Lord, now he has brought this boy to the Lord, and that would be a day the boy would never, ever forget. And we need to bring the boys and girls to Christ. Now, notice in that Andrew brought this boy to Jesus, notice the methods in his witnessing. As we've already intimated there, first of all, he was friendly in his words. There is a lad here. A term of friendliness. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in our witnessing, we should be friendly in our words. He that winneth souls is wise. You could actually turn that around. He that is wise winneth souls. And Andrew is showing wisdom here. He's friendly in our words. And then he is also faithful in his witness. No doubt he must have already spoken to the boy and told about the Lord, the boy about the Lord and about the Lord's needs to feed the great multitude. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Just a boy. But the salvation of children is very important. Spurgeon really was just a boy when he was saved, but look at the influence of his life. And this boy is brought to Christ, and it results in a vast multitude of people having their needs met. And Andrew was fruitful in his work. Because by introducing this boy to the Lord and bringing him to Christ, this great multitude are satisfied. And folks, we need to be fruitful. There's something I have struggled with all my life as a Christian. And it's this. And I know what people are saying. And I know what people mean. But I ask myself, is that really all? That all God expects of you and me is to be faithful. Is that all? And after I was saved, that's what I was told, just be faithful. But then I read in John chapter 15 and verse 16 where it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And I believe indeed that we should be fruitful, but faithful, but I also believe we are exhorted to be fruitful. And Andrew is fruitful in his work for the Lord. He always had to play second fiddle. He always had to live in the shed of his brother people. But he's a soul winner. And in fact, he's recognized for that, because in John chapter 12, we have record of him again in verses 20 and 22. And the Bible says this, that there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desiring him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now what does Philip do? Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. Why did he do that? Surely it had to be because Philip had recognized Andrew to be so influential, bringing people to Christ. So Philip tells Andrew that these people want to see Jesus. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. These Greeks came seeking the Lord. They speak to Philip. Philip introduces them to Andrew, obviously recognizing his ability. And they bring them to Jesus. Oh, that, look, folks, that is the task of the church. That is the task of believers, to bring people to Jesus. You can turn them to whatever else you like. It'll not change their life. Why did Andrew gain such respect? And of course, as you read through the whole record of his life, you will discover he never calls any attention to himself. He never objects to being referred to as Simon Peter's brother. He never objects to having to live in his shadow. Happy to be referred to Simon Peter's brother. I remember announcing a singer to come to sing for me. And I think singers are great. They make a good contribution to the gospel. This particular singer rang me and said, Mr. Morrow, I'm singing for you on Sunday night. I said, that's right. But she says, you remember to put it in the paper and to put my 2 degrees after the name. Well, I said, you're not going to let me forget. Andrew sought no recognition. Just happy to do what he could for the Lord. We read in the Bible of a man by the name of Diotrephes, and the Bible says he loveth to have the preeminence. But not Andrew. That's why I say many of us could never be like Peter or like Paul, but I believe we can be like Andrew. Many a soldier has gone to war, and I was just doing this for my grandson this very weekend, about a family member who went to war, never ever came home, never found his body. And many a soldier went to war and served his country well, only to die in conflict in a foreign battlefield, never came home, never received any reward, was never decorated with any medal. The only recognition he ever received was written on a tombstone. The unknown soldier. That was Andrew. Folks, be happy to be the unknown soldier. But like Peter or like Andrew, do what you can. And you'll hear the Lord's well done. Just as Mary, it was said of her, she had done what she could. You know, like some ornaments or pictures in a great house. Some are very, very expensive, almost untouchable, and others are not. But you know, they're all needed to decorate a house. We've all different talents, but whatever, we must just use them. Do what we can. Happy to be an Andrew for the Savior. Friend, do you know Christ? Has someone spoken to you? Isn't it time for you, like Andrew, to step out and follow the Savior? Then do what you can. Let's bow together in prayer. Our